Hello, hey, bonjour, I'm Gwen Lafage, and this is B2B Marketing Fika, a series of casual interviews with B2B marketers in Europe. Real stories, real tips from the people who are actually doing the real work on the ground. Let's grab a coffee and a bully, and let's get started. Welcome to a new episode of the B2B Marketing Fika podcast. Today we have Anna Lamber, who works at ServiceNow. So Anna, welcome.
Thank you.
And great to have you here. So Anna is Marketing Director Benelux and the Nordics at ServiceNow. And ServiceNow is a, if you don't know the name, you probably should check it out. but it's a very big global software company headquartered in Silicon Valley with offices all across the world. ServiceNow delivers digital workflows for that create great experiences and unlock productivity. Did I get that right?
That is correct, yeah.
I really like this sentence that I think you have on the website, which is, we make the world of work work better for people. I thought that was a good line. I like that there's the people in there, so that it's actually to not just make work better, but make it work for the people that actually work there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and so do we. I mean, business is always done between people, right?
So exactly. So tell us, maybe you can start by telling us a little bit more about what you do at ServiceNow. What's your role?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So I'm managing a team of great marketing talent and being the marketing business partner for Benelux and the Nordics, as you mentioned. And this would mean that my role is to enable people to support the business. I mean, ultimately finding possible new opportunities, create awareness in the market, you know, also trying to inspire organizations of what the art of the possible could look like with ServiceNow.
Okay, so what does your team look like?
So I have a team of great talent covering, you know, traditional field marketing or country marketing roles. I have product marketing in my team. I have industry marketeers, and it's also now expanding into also partner marketing, which is of course an area we see huge potential within. But also, I guess, you know, to get additional expertise, I work close with a number of selected agencies. And not to forget, you know, the collaboration and support we are getting from our more centralized functions in order to scale and grow faster is essential. So also for me, when I'm structuring the team, I also found it essential to have the roles of the inside sales team, who is sort of converting the marketing investments into qualified meetings for our sales teams, also part of my team, even though they are not directly reporting into me.
Right. Okay. How many people do you have, like, in your marketing team then in here?
In my local team, I have 7 direct reports at the moment. So yeah, like, still growing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's in a way like similar to like a marketing, the entire marketing department in a smaller company, right? So that's really that's interesting to see that it's structured like a marketing team in a company for like a smaller size company. And how do you actually collaborate with like the corporate team in the US? Like, what are the responsibilities? How is it kind of split between the corporate team and your team?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. I mean, we you know, we want to be, so ServiceNow will be the defining enterprise software company of the 21st century. And to become that, that means that you need to be a really customer-centric organization. And you know, the knowledge about our local markets and customers are vital to, you know, run successful programs, campaigns, and other obviously marketing related investments. And as a global organization, we are working close to our headquarters or the, you know, corporate or centralized functions, just to make sure that we have feedback what we need in terms of, you know, framework and services to really support the success of our customers and how to become relevant in each of our markets. So in terms of feedback loops, of course, we're getting you know, framework and a lot of great programs and assets delivered. But, you know, the feedback in terms of how this will work and how we can execute them in market is, of course, really, really important.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so do you get like a lot of the campaigns and a lot of the contents from corporate that you just then adjust to your local markets or?
Yeah, and you're touching another good point here, which is the localization part, right? So we, of course, you know, can benefit greatly from what is created globally. But again, it needs to resonate in market. So there is always a work around making sure that it is fit for purpose. And of course, it will work in each of our markets. So we are getting obviously, and well, enriching, you can call it, some of those centralized assets and campaigns that is being delivered to us. So the localization piece, in order to make it really, really work in practice as well, is of course a vital part. So I would say ideally, you know, you can repurpose maybe 80%, and then sort of 20% needs to be, you know, a very targeted and, you know, having the true local angle. So and it's kind of constant, right? You know, it's you know, under development, and of course we are to, you know, refine what we are getting on a regular basis.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. And there's like probably some campaign that you run more locally, like if you do ABM campaigns with specific clients or prospect here just in the Nordics or Benelux, then they might not be coming from the US, right? It's might be more.
No, and I guess we all know when it comes to some of those, you know, the customers that are more sort of known or present maybe in our part of the world, of course, in general, that is more relevant than maybe an organization that is more present somewhere else in the world. Not saying it's not a relevant story, but I think the importance of having that local angle is always really, really important. And I mean, let's face it, customers do want to hear from customers what they have been doing that kind of resonates with themselves. And of course, that is part of, you know, my job and my team to make sure that we kind of bring out these stories together with our, you know, local sales organization as well.
Yeah. Do you find it hard, like, to kind of use what is done at the central level? I know that there is sometimes in when you're in Europe, this idea, this conception that what comes from the US is very, very American. So in terms of like tone of voice or the way they approach things, there might be some cultural differences that you have to address when you have to adapt it to Europe, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, and you are right. I think that is kind of that constant work. Obviously, in order, I think, to educate each other, because it is also, you know, the importance of trying to kind of create, I guess, the, you know, truly global organization, that is not an easy job. And of course, we all have our different backgrounds, you know, different cultures. But again, I think that is part of what's fun in the job as well, because I think, you know, that's the kind of the cultural exchange in a way. Yeah. And I, maybe to kind of add on to that, I think it's now quite amazing to see how, I guess, new opportunities that would come along with, you know, the challenges the world faced in 2020 and, you know, most likely will continue, unfortunately, for some time as well. But we can also now look for talent across the globe that really would bring in diverse perspectives. So potential sort of the challenge with working with a, you know, global organization that might be, you know, based in a country and in, you know, our world. We are obviously an American organization, so we have a lot of the centralized functions in the US. But also we're trying to sort of find a better balance between, I guess, you know, American team members versus people based in, you know, other parts of the world, which really is a journey we are on. I guess also, you know, apart from, you know, the practical challenges in terms of finding, you know, possible time slots that would allow people to meet. But you know, this is a big job ahead, just in terms of creating that, you know, true understanding how, you know, brilliant, but sometimes, yeah, difficult it can be to really understand those different, you know, languages and cultures and, you know, the other things that would come to life. But
yeah, always trying to find this balance between the local culture, the local kind of adaptation, and building a strong brand that needs to be consistent across all markets, right? Because that consistency, yeah, is also the key to making it a true global brand is that it almost needs to be almost the same everywhere. So it's like trying to find that little balance. Like who do you report to in the marketing team? Do you report to like your local market or to marketing in the US?
Yeah, so we have a structure where we have a European organization. So in that setting, we are reporting into an European marketing vice president. But again, you know, we have different work streams and they're very heavily sort of integrated into our different global work streams as well. So I think what we see now, and this is a little bit of, I guess, a shift that happened, you know, the last year or so, where we are much, much more integrated and sort of really trying to become that global team. So I think that's,
interesting.
Quite important.
Just so that we get the sense maybe of scale of like, I mean, ServiceNow is a huge company. How many people are there in just marketing at the company on the global level? Do you know?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, we are growing by the day. I'm actually not sure now how many we are in the global marketing team. In Europe, we are around 60 people.
60 in Europe. Okay. Yeah, and there's probably more than, I don't know, 200-300 people globally, right? I will imagine.
Yeah, more than that, I'm sure. I'm happy to check the number.
Yeah, it's just getting, you know, a sense of scale when I talk to a lot of different tech companies, and of course some are like small scale ups, like in the Nordics, and they have that maybe have like a couple of offices, but their entire company is smaller than just the marketing team at ServiceNow, right? Like here we're talking on very different proportions. So when you have to like approach localization and using some of the campaign that come from the US, what do you think are like the biggest challenges?
I think and a little bit what you know, what I was referring to before. So localization is extremely important, right? And not to be mixed up with translation. So again, it's how to really become relevant. And in my experience, it often, you know, starts with that local, you know, angle of the customer and some of the great job that the teams have been doing in each of our markets and how we can showcase that. Of course, in terms of data and statistics and whatever numbers, you know, you want to share, they need to be kind of connected to your local markets in one shape or form. So localization is hugely important, but also it's not that you need to localize every single thing, right? So in terms of choosing what are the potential, you know, whether it's an asset, whether it's a structure, just making sure that you are focusing on the right things. So some pieces needs to be extremely localized, while I do think that some parts definitely can be just almost like a copy paste, obviously what we're creating from a central or global perspective.
Right. And do you, as well as localize, also translate, or you keep everything in English?
We are mainly obviously having, you know, larger organizations as, you know, as our customers. And many of them are already global. Of course, sort of being in Benelux and the Nordics, English is sometimes even the preferred language. But of course, when you look at, you know, possible public sector and in a certain verticals, of course, the translation piece is really important. So we are trying to, I guess, balance, you know, translating some of the things we're doing, and then obviously keeping some things in English, depending on the target audience, to be honest.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Do you see like differences between the different Nordic countries or the Nordics and Benelux as the needs kind of similar, or do you see like huge differences?
No, I don't see huge differences. I mean, of course, you know, we have different countries, even in the Nordics, and there's a huge difference between, you know, Sweden and Finland and Norway and Denmark. But if you kind of cluster them as a group, there is not sort of a huge difference between, you know, Netherlands, you know, Luxembourg and Belgium. But again, if you would ask people in the countries, of course, there's differences. So we're trying to sort of bring out, I think, the best in each country, and then try to kind of keep some of the things similar. But I think that's the beauty. I mean, running 6 countries, there should be differences, and we should embrace those differences. So I'm quite happy that we're trying to have some of the investments we're making, you know, truly local, and then some of them maybe kind of doing them as a, you know, as an area.
Yeah, and you would you say that the differences in how you approach them is mostly by picking maybe customer stories that are related to their market, or is it also in terms of how you approach messaging, storytelling, creativity, or is it mostly the customer cases?
Yeah, I would say mostly customer cases, and of course it depends on the activity, right? I mean, you know, back in the good old days when we actually were able to meet people, that was always nice to have like a very local element to it. So of course, then you bring out, you know, sort of truly local activities and, the, you know, some of the cultural aspects as well. We had some amazing experiences with customers in the Norwegian mountains, for example, bringing up very sort of traditional Norwegian, you know, activities. And apart from that, I must also say that these customers tend to want to hear from each other. So even though you might have a really good story in, you know, one of the countries, I would say it in most cases would resonate with the other countries as well. But yes, again, we're trying to balance it. I think the only, you know, the key maybe differentiator would be where you have sort of local laws and regulations. I mean, obviously, you know, again, taking the public sector example, that, you know, might look slightly different even between the countries. So of course, that is something we really need to adhere to, and of course, make sure that, you know, it is local relevant.
Right. Okay. But yeah, and in a way, of course, even between all the different markets, a lot of similarities. I know that all the markets and some more than other want to feel that they are unique and they are snowflakes. But in a way, there's still like the same kind of approach everywhere. And when it comes to like content and campaigns, and would you say that your approach when it comes to campaigns and maybe channels or the type of activities that you do, are they similar from one market to another? Like what are the things that you think work really well for you, especially right now? Is it like webinars? Do you use a lot of LinkedIn? What it is that you feel has been working for you in the past, especially in the past year, right?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. And I think we're still learning, right? We do see that a lot of the, I guess, in the new, let's say, more digital world, or, you know, kind of, you know, it's not digital first, it's digital only, as I see it. I mean, there's definitely room for scale when it comes to share, you know, different tactics across the borders, right? I mean, webinars has definitely been a very important part of the mix. And in most cases, I am trying to work with webinars across all of the 6 countries. It is more in terms of, I think, the story and the content of the webinar versus maybe the channel itself. And of course, when you look at, you know, social media and other kind of forums or channels where, of course, it is really easy to connect in a much broader scale, of course, then, you know, the kind of the borders kind of tends to be a bit blended. And I think that is, again, you know, the biggest difference maybe, you know, last year compared to previous years, that there's a kind of, you know, less border specific, but actually more target audience specific. So again, becoming relevant for your target audience, it is about the content, maybe more versus than the channel. And I think that is also one of the learnings moving, you know, ahead. I hope, and I don't think we will completely replace all of those face-to-face, maybe very local interactions. But I do see that we have most likely more hybrid, you know, versions. Do people really want to travel, you know, 1 hour or whatever to go to a seminar or to go to a physical kind of meeting? You know, in some cases, I think people definitely will, but actually having the option of, you know, maybe I moved out of the city, you know, because I realized I could actually manage my work from home in a much more efficient way. So for those, you know, opportunities where I actually really want to meet people, they will, you know, they will be there, but they will probably be there less than before. So, you know, in my world, when you look at, you know, how to define certain investments, I think we need to provide options. And again, becoming very, very relevant for a very specific audience is more important than the channel.
Yeah, definitely. And do you align, if you're thinking like target audience more specific rather than country, do you align a lot with other European markets like France or Germany or whatever are the biggest market for ServiceNow? Do you do things together?
Yeah, no, it's a really good question. And I work extremely close with my peers, whom is managing, you know, the other European countries. And from a language perspective, of course, sort of UK, Ireland would be a very natural fit. And we are really exchanging, you know, activities, programs, initiatives, and where, again, relevance. So, for example, the industry marketeers have a close dialogue in terms of running certain maybe activities or investment with that kind of industry lens. Again, I think the biggest, of course, challenge there is when you are running something in local language. And of course, knowing especially sort of Germany and France and Italy and Spain as a couple of examples, they tend to want to run activities more in of course, their local languages. But whenever there is not a language barrier, we're definitely collaborating.
No, then makes sense. Great. Yeah, that's fascinating to kind of try to understand how it can work with such a big organization, and that you need to have similar activities and you can learn from each other and share like the different program that you're running to kind of scale them up across Europe.
And I would say that is actually for me one of the biggest benefits in my role, really working close with brilliant people that you are learning so much from each other. And again, that is the culture we're having with being very, you know, open to learn and obviously embrace new ways of working. But that piece is truly rewarding, I think, in so many ways, because, of course, you have your experience and your background. But how beautiful is it not to sort of benefit from the experience from other people? And again, you know, that communication, collaboration piece has been extremely important for me.
Yeah. And I mean, we talked a lot about the content, but do you also potentially share some of the function? Like, I will imagine that marketing automation, for example, or the management of the database is managed on a European level or on a central level rather than on the market level, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that is, again, you know, the benefit of being part of a, you know, global organization. I mean, there are some, I think, core services that really can scale and be managed through a centralized organization. So when you look at the tech stack and when you look at some of these, I guess, core services, and of course, marketing automation is one big thing, right? But even from, you know, the digital perspective, there are certain things that you definitely can and should manage from a centralized perspective. And again, then there are things that needs to be, you know, very much sort of local or managed in a different way. So I think that's the beauty.
Yeah, and you manage the performance marketing side of things on the local level, right? Like the running your social channels and doing ads or Google ads, or is that done like mostly on the local level and you all do your own, or how do you share that?
Yeah, and we're sort of in a bit of a transition period as well there, because ultimately, you know, what the business needs are, we are to define. And then we have a supporting team that is, you know, very much sort of specialists in the different areas of digital marketing. So we're trying to sort of merge the knowledge with the needs in a way. So we are definitely centralizing some of these supporting functions, but obviously with the brief from the country organization, from my team, just to make sure that we really get across obviously what we need. But that's definitely a true partnership.
Yeah. Okay. No, interesting. I have a last question before we finish this chat. So I've noticed on LinkedIn that you were a culture champion at ServiceNow. That caught my attention. I'm like, what is a culture champion? Can you tell me more about that?
Yes, of course. And this is truly one of the best sort of assignments I got in this organization. So for me, I'm extremely passionate about people, and you know, culture is all about people, and it's a true, I think, investment from the company as well in terms of making sure that you do embrace so diversity, inclusion, belonging. And culture is sort of, it really starts, you know, with the roots. And especially working obviously in, you know, in the different countries, you know, we have a company purpose. But how does this purpose really resonate with you and your local team? So a lot of the work is of course to make sure that we, as a local team, you know, do we respect each other? You know, do we have fun together? You know, what are the initiatives we want to drive locally that obviously aligns to the company purpose, but also that really resonates with how we want to be seen in the market? So I guess in short, because this is an amazing topic that I could probably speak an hour about, but just making sure that, you know, that the culture will come to, you know, to life in a way, but that is really done by everyone. So culture is never ever defined by, you know, a company or a person. You know, each individual, you know, needs to truly live and breathe the culture. And again, culture is very different depending on, you know, country, and also obviously the team setting. So yeah, that part was really, you know, starting with the team and obviously working with the team to make sure that we are proud of what we are together as a team in the respective countries.
Would you say that there is a specific ServiceNow culture that is like transfer across the world, across different countries?
Yeah, I think there is, but I think there's nuances as well. But really, one of the, I think for me, the key things that stands out, and, you know, I've been now working for quite a few years, and you can start to compare, I think, different cultures. But I would truly say that, you know, the openness, you know, the honesty, but also the willingness to help each other is significant within ServiceNow. And how you put the customer in the center is also, it's part of your mindset, it's part of your DNA. And, you know, how that is linked to the diversity, inclusion, and the belonging piece. So not only, you know, investment from the company in terms of how important these, you know, topics are, but also how we truly kind of live and breathe that as an organization. So I think there's a couple of things that definitely stands out, and in my experience are maybe somewhat different compared to previous organizations. But yeah, I think you will definitely see a few of these things that positively stands out.
Nice. That's like a nice nice value to stand by, a nice company to work for.
Yeah. No, it truly is. It truly is.
Great. Well, fantastic. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. And let's catch up again soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
This podcast is sponsored by Skona, a full-service creative agency with offices in San Francisco and Stockholm, which transforms B2B companies into brave brands.